Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? Maybe curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast. And your host, Michael Michelini.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome to China Business Cast, episode number 23. Arshasan. It is great smack in the middle summer here in July. So while many might think it's a bit late for this summer internship program, we're going to still think it's planned for next year or maybe in fall or spring semester. We're going to talk about getting a China internship, both for the company side and for the intern side. We have an expert with us, Brandon King in Shanghai. So let's listen in. Okay, so we're here for another China Business Cast, and we have with us today my friend Brandon King up in Shanghai today. Thanks for coming on with us today, Brandon.
Absolutely, Michael. Happy to be on the China Business Cast.
Sure. Yeah, I'm still just really getting a feel of listeners, but I think this is going to be a great topic to share. So, you know, you've been doing this for quite a few years with internships in China. So maybe just quickly for our listeners, give yourself a quick introduction.
Yeah, sure. So I've been doing the internship thing for a few years and been doing the China thing for, I guess, quite a few at this point. I first came out in 2008. And based on, you know, my experience as a recent graduate, kind of navigating the career market here, I eventually went on to found a company called Smart Intern. And basically what we do at Smart Intern is we connect interns, college students and recent graduates with companies in Shanghai where they undertake internships typically from 2 to 6 months.
Awesome. Yeah, we're recording this in the summer, so it's usually summer interns probably, or is it any time of the year? Or
So it's definitely seasonal in that summer peak. You're right about that, Mike. But we really have interns come in year round. So right now would be kind of the use case would be somebody who's currently a student at university with a few years, you know, probably a junior or senior in college. But later in the year, of course, there will be graduates who, you know, our intern profile, yeah, for later in the season tends to be a recent graduate who is interested in coming to China and working and looking to start working with an internship. So yeah, we place year round with summer being the seasonal peak.
Awesome. So we were talking before the show, and I think we have probably both sides of your market listening. We probably have some potential interns, maybe in college, studying all about China business, in love with China. Maybe they probably never been here, but they're hearing all this news and they want to get over here. And I'm sure there's other business owners listening today that have maybe heard of this idea of getting some hungry, ambitious, you know, overseas interns coming into their company and giving them some new perspective. So I think we're going to try our best in today to cover both sides. So mm-hmm. I don't know if we want to pick one side first. Do you think?
Sure. I mean, we could start by talking about or by speaking to those, I think, in university who are interested in coming to China on internships, and then definitely would be thrilled to speak from the company owner perspective too, and, you know, give them some guidelines in terms of what to look for in possible interns and how they can filter the right candidates effectively.
Okay, great. Yeah, sounds good to me. So I still remember those college days. I miss those days. It's true what they say usually that, you know, appreciate your college days because they are some of the best in your life. So
definitely
between keg stands and final exams, you know, you're probably also trying to get some real world experiences. And so I guess what's a profile of somebody that wants to come over to China? I guess, is it technical or is it really wide ranging, or what kind of people usually are interested?
So it's pretty wide ranging. Based on my experience, the two most in-demand areas for internships are marketing and finance. Of course, for Shanghai being the center of finance in China, we do have a lot of interns who are interested in working in investment banking, private equity, wealth management, that sort of thing. Also have a lot who are interested in marketing as well. So either marketing in-house or marketing with one of the many ad agencies or web marketing agencies that are based here in Shanghai.
Okay.
So those are, yeah, those would be the two most popular kind of areas. And then in terms of just kind of profile, you know, the people who really do well in China, as you know, Mike, they tend to have some hustle to them, and they are adventurous, and they're able to cope with ambiguity well.
True,
that's
true.
Definitely a defining trait of those who are successful here. You know, they're comfortable improvising and, you know, kind of flying by the seat of their pants at times. I think that's the reality of life in China, regardless of the, you know, the company you're in. Even if it's a big multinational, there is a need for kind of an entrepreneurial mindset here that you might not necessarily, that is not quite as needed or as prevalent back home in corporate America.
Yeah, I think sometimes we've talked quite a few times, so I can't remember exactly the stories, but there's always these horror stories, I think, of internships gone bad in China, where they find some post online and they arrive and it's like they're working at a carnival or something like that. Or maybe, yeah, there's definitely some risks. So I think that maybe because of those news articles, potential interns are a little bit more cautious than maybe they used to be. Is that true, or what do you think in there?
So I think, you know, it's not a phenomenon that's limited just to internships. You know, I know when I first came out to China, I was reading a lot of horror stories myself about ESL teaching. So that's initially what I did when I first moved out here as a recent graduate. And you read these horror stories online about unscrupulous companies that, you know, they're either kind of fly-by-night language schools that were putting, you know, five teachers up in a single hotel room, or, you know, you read about these internship companies that placed interns at an amusement park in Guangzhou, which I think actually happened. You know, and I think it's all attributable just to the lack of oversight that, you know, that we still see today in China. And of course, there are unscrupulous operators and people coming to China. It's an intimidating experience. Even if you do have background with the country and with the language, there's a lot of gray space. There are a lot of unknowns, and people tend to put their defenses up, understandably so, in a lot of cases when it comes to just living and conducting business in China. So I think that's, I guess that would be kind of my explanation for the trepidation that you sometimes see from, not just from interns coming to China, but from entrepreneurs who are coming here to start businesses, and, you know, really anybody who doesn't have past experience with the country.
Yeah. I probably is a common question, but do they need to be studying Chinese or know Chinese to come here or apply?
Yeah, good question. So it really depends. Of course, Chinese is ideal. That will give somebody more possibilities for sure. But, you know, here we see a lot of SMEs, small and medium-sized enterprises that are based in Shanghai for reasons of cost. I mean, even though labor costs increase considerably year over year, you know, there are companies that are based in China. There's still plenty of companies that are based here for a cost advantage, and they're not necessarily marketing to Chinese. So we work with a lot of, for example, web marketing agencies and ad agencies who have a Western market. You know, in that case, somebody undertaking a marketing internship with one of these companies wouldn't necessarily need to have a Chinese background at all. If they're in something more technical, so what we see is that technical internships do tend to require a level of Chinese and in a lot of cases, Chinese fluency. So if you're an engineer looking at an engineering internship in China, or if you're a computer programmer, you know, these would be two use cases where you're almost certainly going to be working with a local team. And unless you have a highly developed skill set, in which case you won't be looking for an internship in the first place, you will most likely need some pretty advanced Chinese.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I mean, that's really challenging then to be a developer and to speak Chinese too. But yeah, that's news for me. So cool. So then normally how does it work? Like, I think it's the intern that has to basically apply, right? To and pay a fee, application fee and things like that, or?
Yeah, so it's a fee-based model for us, wherein the intern themselves actually pays. And what they pay for, of course, is the essentially the outsourcing of the internship search, right? So we take care of that on their behalf, and we actually guarantee a placement, or they a placement in the industry of their choice with the company they're happy with, or they don't pay us anything. They'll also get things like digital Chinese lessons. They get access to over 2,000 digital Chinese lessons and housing, airport pickup, and really on the ground support if that's something they need. So it's a fee-based program for interns, and then for companies it's free, so they don't pay anything. So that's basically the business model as it stands right now, you know, and we understand that that's not necessarily the right fit for everybody. I mean, when I first came here, I wanted to do everything myself, and I did. And a lot of times actually that meant that it was a slower process, but I was pretty stubborn about making sure that I was doing everything myself and, you know, essentially avoiding kind of liaisons or middlemen at all costs. So what we're doing now is working to kind of create digital products that help people who are interested in navigating the landscape on their own and who do want to take on that challenge themselves. So as we grow as a company, we're definitely growing beyond just services and trying to create and working hard to create products that benefit anybody, especially recent graduates who want to work in China but aren't sure how to get started.
Sure. Like, just to reiterate, like, I guess I was, maybe it's also we're just getting older too, Brendan, but I think maybe when you're young or inexperienced, you think you can do everything yourself. But it really, you know, it's same with sourcing from factories. Like, I would try to buy direct from factories, and I didn't want to like go through middlemen. But I think a lot of times people learn the hard way, or just by losing opportunities, that it's saving some money and trying to figure it out all yourself normally isn't the best. But yeah,
I think that's a great observation. And yeah, for sure, I can say from my experience, I think as we get older, cash flow improves a little bit, and we start to value time more than money. You know, that's really when there's that shift, I think, where you start understanding, you know, what a value-added service provider offers, whether that's with internships or with sourcing, as you said. I mean, definitely something that I think happens. You know, it's a mindset shift that I don't think happens until a couple of years in the, quote, real world.
Yep. So then they apply. I guess if there's an intern here on the edge of their seat trying to get to China, and normally how much time should they give themselves to get placed?
So 90 days would be the upper limit, but it really depends on their current situation. So we've made placements in as fast as 48 hours, although that's definitely not the standard. You know, that would be an accelerated case. If somebody's in China, of course, then they can expect a faster placement time. And I would say on average, it's about 5 weeks to placement. And of course, if they're coming from overseas, it would likely be a little bit longer than that.
Got it. Yeah. People should always plan ahead. But of course, I guess we both know there's always those last minute kind of people, the hustlers. So
yeah, absolutely.
Cool. And then I know this is a tricky question, but visa passport, you know, visa policy for China. Maybe we touch it a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, of course it changes, and, you know, I should caveat this with the fact that, you know, anybody looking into an internship needs to do the research themselves, you know, and understand the landscape themselves and not take my or anybody else's word for it, you know, so definitely do your own research. But basically interns will come here on business visas, or they can also legally undertake an unpaid internship on a student visa in China. So those are the two types of visas that one would intern on. It's important to note that paid internships are actually illegal in China. So the way around that would be a company might offer some sort of reimbursement for food costs or transport costs, that sort of thing. But basically what happened over the past 5-10 years, we saw a lot of people undertaking, quote, internships for years at a time and earning, you know, significant salaries in China, which is something that the government has moved to eliminate, understandably so. So, yeah, the thing to know is that you can't actually legally receive a working wage in China, but some companies will offer reimbursements or subsidies to help compensate for the fact that they can't pay a full-time salary.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess maybe I think we should kind of wrap up the intern side, but maybe let's talk about their mindset. Like, we're talking about payment and visas. Like, what should the intern's goal be for doing such an internship?
So that's, yeah, it's a great question. And I'd say the important thing is not necessarily what the specific goal is so much as having a goal defined as much as possible before coming to China, no matter what that goal might be. Things here tend to take longer than I think you first expect. So I think it's really important for, any intern coming here to really try and sketch out and what their goals for working in China are, what their projected timeline is, to reach those goals, and then probably double that timeline to get a realistic understanding of, when they'll actually hit their goals. Now, interns, they should come here expecting a lot of hands-on experience and, the experience of working above their level. So being challenged and being put in, frankly, situations that are at times above their current skill set and that are really challenging and that require a lot of problem solving. And one could come here for a year or two. We see this a lot where people come here, take an internship for a year, or even start working at some point full-time for a year or two, and then parlay that experience back into a position back home. So that's a pretty common trajectory. The other one, of course, would be somebody who, really decides to stake out a life in China in the medium term and, work in SMEs or multinationals here. And, so that would be kind of the other profile. And I think most people do tend to return home. Not everybody does, but I think it's, definitely a pretty high rate of people who have returned home by the age of 30. So I think just kind of keeping that in mind. And what you see, Mike, I think you've seen this yourself, is those who tend to stay in China in the long term, I would say almost always are entrepreneurs of some sort. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's probably the most viable way to actually, live overseas over the long term.
Yeah, I would agree. But sometimes for people to really stay, a lot of times they get sent from the US to China as an expat rather than try to get a job in China for long, for full time maybe. But mm-hmm. that could also be another option. And getting this internship in the summer while you're in college would also help differentiate you. But yeah, of course, I mean, I'm a hustler, entrepreneur, but there's of course the roller coaster up and down, but yeah, I think to be overseas, it's kind of hard to try to have a stable long-term career. I think.
Yeah.
But I mean, of course, in college, internship or especially study abroad or any kind of international experience, I think in college is really, really, really worth it. I mean, I didn't do an internship overseas when I was in college, but I was able to go on some trips for some in Europe on backpacking, and those, I think, that's really when you learn about yourself and learn about the world. So, that would be my suggestion for somebody to do an internship in China in college for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You get that star on your resume. Importantly, you open your mind and, open yourself to new ways of thinking, and that's invaluable.
Yep. Okay, cool. So maybe let's flip it around to the companies in China. There's probably some, like you said, some entrepreneurs or some SMEs or maybe some MNCs, business owners listening today, and they're wanting to tap into this kind of like get these hustler interns in their company. So what's the process here?
So there are a couple of ways they could do it. One would be going through an agency like Smart Intern, in which case they could just visit our website. We have a four companies page and they could upload a job description there. If we do have a fit for them, we'll get in touch with a resume and they can let us know if they're interested in, proceeding further with evaluating that candidate. So going through a third party service provider would be one way. They can also recruit directly from universities, which, depending on kind of the resources that one has at their disposal within the company, that might be another way to go. And then, of course, you can post directly on various jobs boards. And if you do go that route, of course, advertising on local China-based jobs boards is going to be a lot more effective than trying to recruit students from overseas, which can, you know, can be a headache if they're, it can be challenging, I found, to recruit directly from overseas if you're not going through, or yeah, if you're not going through either university or third-party service provider. So yeah, those would be kind of the three ways that a company could go about recruiting.
Okay. And then they, I think a lot of times, I haven't really had a formal intern, and I kind of had some adjunct stuff, but what does the company have to provide? You know, like you said, mentioned housing, or what's normal? Do they have to like kind of like be their tour guide in the town, or have like intern nights or something like that? Or what's some other suggestions?
Yeah. So it really depends on, you know, the profile of the intern that a company is going to take on. You know, if an intern is midway through university, maybe doesn't have a whole lot of formal work experience and is taking that pretty big step of coming and working overseas in China, you know, in that case, a company should be prepared to provide more hands-on support for that particular intern. That doesn't necessarily mean that they need to figure out housing and be there, you know, 24/7 for them, but it does mean that they should be prepared to, you know, help them navigate navigate some stuff outside of the workplace at times. You know, a company could also have a more mature recent graduate, in which case the things that they'd be obligated to provide, or the things that we would suggest providing, would you know, not necessarily be things like housing assistance or that 24/7 support. In all cases, you know, a company should definitely, of course, be turns as valued members of the company, and, you know, not as cheap labor, and, you know, really making sure that the intern, if they're contributing in a meaningful way, that, you know, the intern has opportunities to grow and really, you know, expand their skill set where appropriate and where beneficial to both the intern and the company. So, you know, an example of that would be Chinese. A lot of interns do come here to learn Chinese, and there's a great, you know, great perceived and actual benefit if a company can offer some sort of support in learning Chinese lessons. So I would say ultimately, yeah, it really just comes down to understanding where the intern, where a particular candidate is at in terms of their work experience and their goals, and, you know, adjusting the level of support to that.
Okay. And then I guess if they were to work with your company or maybe other agencies, you would probably help with the agreement or the contract and the terms, or?
Yeah. So we'll work with the company through that process. We'll be involved as necessary. So we do our best to make things run as smoothly as possible for both the intern and the company, and our involvement, again, that will depend based on how much the company or the intern needs us. We're happy to step back and, you know, not be involved if we're not adding value. But, you know, in cases where there is some guidance needed, we're always available and able to offer that.
Okay. Awesome. And then for them, how much time should they have to prepare before they start seeking out interns? Just be in your database and be ready to get you to contact them? Or?
Okay, sure. Gotcha. So yeah, basically for us, we can't guarantee that we're going to have the right fit for any one company. As you can imagine, we definitely have more demand from companies than we do supply of interns. And I think that's always going to be the case. So for us, it's really a matter of getting those resumes in our database, which they can add through our website. It's a very straightforward process. And then from there, if we do have the right fit for a company, we'll reach out to them, let them know, and begin that discussion. But, you know, if we don't have the right fit, obviously we can't, you know, we're not going to try to force that relationship and, you know, be a matchmaker in cases where the match isn't right. So yeah, for us, it's really just a matter of first beginning dialogue with the company, really coming to understand their needs, what they're looking for in an intern. And then if we do have a good profile for them, we'll send that their way, and, you know, they can move to a Skype interview if desired. So in terms of time frame, yeah, it really, it really varies. And I can't give a straight answer of, you know, two months from start to finish.
Okay, cool. So can we give some cases or some examples of this, you know, like maybe an intern that came and what kind of either the company or of course we don't want to reveal confidential information, but maybe just help us understand the whole process with one or two examples.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So generally speaking, you know, for us, the best matches are ones where, you know, both the company and the intern have kind of qualified one another. So as much as an interview is about a company coming to understand an employee and whether they're a good fit, it's also equally about, you know, that potential employee or intern understanding whether the company fits with them and their needs. So the example I'll give is one of a recent graduate. She's Chinese actually, and she graduated from university in California and was interested in a marketing internship in China. And, you know, she was a type who was definitely a high achiever and had a lot of options. And she approached her interview with the company from that perspective. So she wasn't going to take just any internship offer. She was definitely qualifying the company in the same way that the company was qualifying her. And it turned out that she got an internship and, you know, she passed the company's filters, shall we say, with flying colors, and she got an internship that eventually, just recently, actually turned into a full-time job offer. So she'll be working in Shanghai with this marketing agency for the foreseeable future. And I think, you know, the success there is that, like I said, she was asking the right questions of the company, and the company was asking the right questions of her, and actually using an evaluation process that extended beyond just one interview. So, you know, it started with sending through a set of pre-screening questions, from there moving to an interview, from there moving to actually giving a short assignment for the candidate to, you know, to see how they felt, to see how they handled that. And it's pretty amazing the percentage of unqualified candidates that any company can filter out by just adding an extra step or two to their recruitment process, not just for interns, but for any sort of employee. So we definitely recommend that.
Cool. Yeah, that's a great one. So she ended up getting a full time. It's funny, she's Chinese too, so she wanted to, I guess, come back to China.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So that's a great one. I don't know if there's anything funny. Like internships gone bad or something. I don't know if it's something I should surprise you with, but maybe something people can learn from.
Every internship we've ever provided has been completely perfect for both employee and intern. I mean, you know, like, yeah, of course, you know, it doesn't always work out. I wish it did. I wish I could guarantee that it does, but it, you know, no HR, you know, nobody in HR has a 100% success rate. So yeah, we haven't had any, I mean, we certainly have never placed interns in amusement parks in Guangzhou or anything like that, you know, but we have had internships where it's turned out that it hasn't been the right fit for, you know, on either the company or the intern side. So it's really for us a matter of just making sure the filters are in place and also making sure that somebody has the personality and disposition to succeed in China. So the people who generally don't do well here are those who are expecting, you know, to be coddled and who, again, aren't comfortable figuring things out on their own and who need to be walked through, you know, every single step of every single day.
I got a funny story, so that way we can. I'll try to put something funny that won't involve your company. But I went back to the U.S. last year for just, you know, going home, and I went to, my parents live in Florida, so I get there seriously, and my parents knew, of course, knew I was coming, and they're retired, so this other like grandma came to the house that day. She's like, "Oh, is your son from China here yet?" And I'm like, And my dad's like, yeah, he's here. And I'm like, what? And she was so nervous because her daughter went to China to be an English teacher in Sanya and lost touch, didn't contact her when she landed, didn't contact nothing, like couldn't get a hold of anybody.
Oh, no.
And while I was there, so I was helping to figure out from the ticket and the, like, he saw a Chinese ID of the school teacher or the, you know, the manager or whoever and the agency. And it definitely was like looking like shady. It didn't look like the most legitimate like kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was, of course, home with my parents for a while. So there was a few days that went by, and finally the daughter was like in her 30s or something. It's not like that young. And she's like, oh, I made it. But because it was Chinese New Year. I don't know if I went back for Chinese New Year. So obviously China's like closed. So I was really curious, why would this woman fly to China during Chinese New Year when basically businesses are closed?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess there was a timing miscommunication. So she was there like a week early for somehow, I don't know how. And she was in the airport by herself for like a day and nobody would help her and she couldn't speak Chinese.
Oh, wow.
And finally the manager like came, but it was like during Chinese New Year, and found her at the airport. I don't know if I can take too much credit, but my wife was kind of like on WeChat trying to find somebody in Sanya to like find her. I don't, you know, it was so crazy, but it's worked out. I mean, I came back to China. I still haven't met her, but she's in Sanya and welcomes me over there, but she's was still there a few months ago. So she'd been there for like a year now. But yeah, that was pretty crazy. And there's a lot of people like just fly out to China without knowing that much. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I was like, I was like that maybe a little bit too. But
I think
I
think we all were in a way. And I think, you know, it's people like you and your wife who make it like who make it easier and, you know, who are there to help. It turns out a very supportive expat community. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, any company you're working for, it's going to be composed of, it's just a network of people. So, you know, what anybody can do is just make sure that, you know, you're looking into the company a little bit and that you're getting past references and, you know, you've communicated, especially if you're teaching, ESL, you know, just email a couple of previous teachers who worked at that school. If the school can't provide you with that, then definitely question them. But if you can, you know, talk to a couple of people, maybe get on Skype with them. That is as sure an indicator as any of, you know, the legitimacy of the school.
Great. So thanks again, Brandon, for sharing. And we talked about your business a little bit, but of course, maybe share any websites of your businesses that you'd like people to reach out to you and ways to contact you.
Sure, definitely. So anybody can email me at brandon@smartinternchina.com. So the domain, if they want to check out the website, again, smartinternchina.com. And yeah, email me at brandon@smartinternchina.com. Happy to chat there. Also, I write a little bit about marketing at prospectpull.com. So that's prospectpull.com. And those would be the two places to check out if anybody's interested. And yeah, if you're working in China, definitely shoot me an email. I'd love to chat. Always happy to connect with other entrepreneurs here in Shanghai.
Great, great. Thanks again, Brandon. And that's a wrap. Thanks for coming on.
Mike, thanks so much, man. Talk to you soon. Cheers.
Thank you for sharing, Brandon, and coming on the show. Interns are awesome, and I think it's a pretty fair trade. You know, businesses get an amazing intern to work hard in their company, and interns get some amazing job experience, which I think is more valuable than the college education itself. I did internships every summer while I was in college. I didn't get to go overseas. I stayed within the New York area. But I definitely recommend doing it if you're an intern, and it's really awesome if you can come overseas to China or other parts of the world where I think you really learn a lot about yourself. I backpacked Europe after college. Obviously, I'm in Asia and China now. I think it's really where you learn about yourself, about business, get outside your element when you are outside of your comfort zone. So let me know what you think of that show. Also, I'm getting tons and tons of requests for people that want to hire a China business assistant for sourcing, translation, marketing, selling. So I'm working on a program to help you with that. If in the meantime, you'd like some special info, shoot me a note at mike@chinabusinesscast.com. I work with a couple of people on a kind of more, you know, non-standard way. And I'm working on making a more standard service for that. So catch you guys next time, and to your success in the China market. Peace.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry. China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.